Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
We now find ourselves a year closer to either our own deaths or perhaps second coming of Christ. You know, the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That day in which He will either say to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," Matthew 25, verse 34. Or the day in which He will say, "Depart from me," Matthew 25, verse 41. And so, that being so, allow me this morning to use this opportunity to prod your thinking about the year that is nearing its end, and then to also suggest some resolutions for the next. And so, first of all, let's talk about 2006. Has your relationship with God improved this year? Take some time this morning to think about where you were on the 1st of January 2006, spiritually speaking. Has your relationship with God improved? Are you closer now to God than you were 12 months ago? Can you say that you are, honestly? I hope you can. Have you drawn nearer to God, James 4:8, that He might draw near to you? Recognizing that close relationships depend upon good communication. We understand that to be the case in our relationships with each other. Husbands and wives must possess good communication skills if they would ever reach the closeness that they no doubt desire to reach. Closeness in any kind of relationship is going to depend largely on our ability to communicate with the one or ones with whom we want to be close. And that's no different in our relationship with God. There must be good communication in order to be close to God. And so, have you listened to God this year? Have you listened to Him speak to you through His divinely inspired Word? Have you taken the time that you should have taken to become acquainted with God through the means by which He has chosen to reveal Himself? Another year is drawing to a close, and so I ask you the question. Did you read through God's Word this past year? Did you make time out of your day to spend that time reading God's divine message? Have you also kept open those other lines of communication? Not just the one through which God speaks to us, but the means by which we speak to God. Have you prayed this year like you should? As you look back over this past year, can you honestly say that on this particular day you pray more often and more fervently than you did at this exact time 1 year ago? Has prayer become a more important part of your life in the past 12 months? Now, if your answers to either of those questions is no, I'm not as close to God as I know I need to be. I'm not closer now than I was a year ago. I don't really read more of the Word than I did a year ago. I don't really pray more or pray with more zeal than I did a year ago. And my question to you is, what's the problem? And I don't mean that question rhetorically. I mean it literally. What is it? What is it that is a part of your life? What is it that is taking up so much of your time and your energy that it's keeping you from doing those things? There's never a bad time for a person to take a look inside himself or herself. It's never a bad time to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. But this is a time of year when we generally do that more so than we do at any other time of the year. Because it's a new beginning, it's a new start. You add one number to the previous year, you get a new start. And so how has this year been? What is it? If you're not praying more often and more fervently, if you're not reading and studying the Word of God more now than you were a year ago, what is it that is a part of your life? That's keeping you from doing that. You need to find out what that is. Because it's probably going to be different for all of us. Find out what it is. And then ask yourself if it's really worth it. Is that thing or those things that are standing in the way of my spiritual maturity, are they really worth it? Another question as we consider 2006, another question that's very important, it's not only with regard to our relationship to God, but consider this question as well. Has your relationship with your brethren improved this past year? Are you now closer to your Christian family than you were this time a year ago? Has our love and compassion for one another grown stronger? What Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10 is an amazing passage to me. Because it reveals so much about these Christians. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in 9. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. I don't know about you, but I would have liked to have known those brethren in Thessalonica. For an inspired apostle to write to them and say, concerning brotherly love, you don't really need anybody to write anything to you about that. Because you've been taught by God to love one another, and this you also do. What a pleasurable group of people to have had the privilege to be around. But do you notice how Paul ended that particular subject? He said, but we urge you, brothers, do even more. There's always room for improvement in our love for each other and in the way we express it and in the frequency of our expressions of love for one another. And so as we take a look back on 2006, can we say that we do have a deeper love and appreciation for one another than we had a year ago? Have you taken the time to do the things that are necessary to deepen relationships with your Christian family? For instance, have you had brethren to your home and shown them hospitality? 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Or have you visited in the homes of your brethren? To just take advantage of opportunities to be a part of each other's lives and increase those bonds of brotherhood and fellowship. Do you know your brethren better? Or perhaps I should word it this way, do you know more of your brethren? Congregations constantly see change in the makeup of the congregation. Sometimes folks move away, others move in. Those from out in the world are added to the body of Christ and become members of local congregations. There are people here now in this assembly that are a part of this congregation that weren't a part of this congregation a year ago. Those of us that have been here a while, do we know those brethren? Do we know who they are? Do we know their names? Have we made attempts to learn who they are? An interesting passage, 3 John, verse 14, I believe. John encourages the recipient of the letter, greet the brethren by name. Are we trying to be able to do that ourselves? What about this question? Has your relationship with folks in the world improved over the past year? As children of God, we have an important responsibility to folks in the world. Jesus in Matthew 5, verses 13 and following, spoke of our being salt. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, what good is it? He basically says it's good for nothing but to be trampled under your feet. You're the light of the world. You're like that city that's set on a hill. It can't be hidden. We are supposed to be, to the world, a positive influence. Salt. We are to be a shining example of a better way. Light. And so we're to let our lights so shine before men that they may see our good works and in turn glorify the Father in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. And so have we made strides in developing meaningful relationships with folks who are outside of Christ, neighbors perhaps, co-workers, other parents that are on your kids' baseball teams or soccer teams, those kinds of relationships that we have with people in the world, are we working to create stronger relationships with those folks? Not that we might join in any worldly pursuit or sinful activity that others in the world might be involved in, but so that we can develop a relationship that we might influence them for good and lead them to Christ. Basically, with these questions, what we need to ask ourselves is, have we made good use, proper use, of the time and opportunity that God has given us in 2006? That's basically what the question is. How have we used those opportunities? Well, I know as I went through these questions myself, I found a lot of areas in which I see need for personal improvement. And each of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll all be able to say, you know what? I squandered some opportunities. There were times when I really didn't make the best use of my time or the best use of my opportunities. And so if that's where you are, if you recognize that about yourself, my next admonition to you is from the words of Paul, Philippians 3, verse 13. Forget those things that are behind. We can't go back and relive those opportunities. We can't go back in time and change those things. Now, that's not to say that our squandered opportunities were okay. If we squandered them, we shouldn't have. But as penitently as we can, seek God's forgiveness And He's promised us He'll give it to us. 1 John 1, verse 9. Then it's time to forget those things that are behind. Can't change them. Now let's talk about 2007. If God allows us to live but a few more hours, 2007 will be upon us. Let's resolve a few things. Number one, let's resolve to draw nearer to God this year. We recognize that our relationship with God is not really much deeper than it was a year ago. Let's resolve to change that this year. Resolve to draw nearer to God. Involve yourself in a daily reading of God's powerful Word. That which can discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12. Recognize the value of the Scriptures, that they can bring us hope and comfort. Romans 15:4. All of those great examples in the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Resolve that you'll receive with meekness the implanted Word that's able to save your soul. James 1:21. Desire that sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Recognize how valuable the Scriptures are to enable us to perform every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. That's one of the areas of our lives that our elders have decided for us to emphasize in 2007. To try to place a greater emphasis on daily Bible reading and study. And so we have those plans that were mentioned in the announcements earlier. That if you didn't get one of those in your congregational 2007 congregational plan, there are some out in the foyer. The little orange-colored booklets that have a daily Bible reading plan in them, where a reading is taken from the Old Testament and from the New Testament every day. And if you follow that plan, you can read through the entire Bible in a year's time. To assist us in doing that and hopefully pique interest in studying the Bible every day, we're adding to the Bible reading plan a couple of things. One are those questions that you found in your announcement sheets this morning. Four questions from each testament each day that are over the reading. Now you'll find the actual passages for the reading in the daily Bible reading plan. The questions are just the questions. Next week, the Lord willing, your handout will not only have questions for next week's reading, but they'll have the answers to this week's questions in case you had some trouble finding them. And so we hope by those questions to simply give you something to look at and something to look for as you read through those passages every day. And then in addition to that, barring any kind of unforeseen need to change the schedule, we're scheduling every Sunday night sermon in 2007 will be taken from a passage or a group of passages that you will have read that previous week. So that hopefully those lessons will be a help to you because it'll cover some of the things that you've read in the previous week on that schedule. Hopefully all those things working together will help all of us to make time each day for a study of God's Word, to allow God to have a place in our lives where He instructs us on how we should live. Resolve that you'll draw closer to God through that. Resolve that you'll increase and deepen your relationship with God through prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2. Come boldly to God's throne of grace, that you might find grace and mercy to help in every time of need. Hebrews 4, 16. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Perhaps the example of Daniel would be worthy of our imitation, who prayed three times every day, Daniel 6, verse 10. It wouldn't hurt us to pray more than that. But at least use that as an example of something worthy of our imitation. Resolve to draw closer to God. Number two, resolve to draw closer to your brethren. I mentioned 3 John 14 earlier. Greet the friends by name. Why don't we resolve to try to do better at that? To try to learn our brethren better. We joke around, and I do this as much as anybody. We joke around sometimes about the south side congregation and the north side congregation, split by this middle aisle. Shouldn't be a south side congregation and a north side congregation. We're brethren. Greet the brethren by name. Use the picture board in the foyer. Use your directories at home to put names with faces. And now as he stops preaching and starts to meddling, how about changing where you sit every once in a while? So that you see some new faces. So that you learn more of who your brethren are and have more opportunities to visit with them. Greet the friends by name. Show hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Open up your home and have brethren over for visits or go by to see others. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just stop by and get to know one another better. And then number 3, let us resolve to draw nearer to those that are outside of Christ. Find opportunities, make opportunities to do good unto all men. Galatians 6, verse 10. Share a meal with a neighbor. When you're going to make that chicken soup on a cold day, make some extra and then just take it next door. By doing things like that, it allows others to see Christ in us. Colossians 1, verse 27. And little things like that might help to build a bridge that in turn could help you lead someone to Christ. Resolve to draw nearer to God. Resolve to draw nearer to your brethren. Resolve to draw nearer to others, those that are outside of Christ. And all of that to the praise, honor, and glory of our God. Simple resolutions? I guess so, in one sense. But these things can take us a long way in not only blessing our lives, but in blessing the lives of others. And it will help us, if God allows us to live another year, it will help us to have a clearer conscience this time next year. Time is a very precious commodity, so much so that God encourages us to make the most of our time, buy up the opportunities, redeem the time, Ephesians 5, verse 16. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, Psalm 90, verse 12. Let's be thankful for the blessing of time and opportunity. So thankful that we'll use time and opportunity to the best of our abilities to the glory of God. An unknown poet wrote the following. The old year ends, a new begins with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's passed, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill. But know that God walks at your side if you will do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to Him. If your 2006 has not been what you know that it should have been, seek the available mercy of God. Then put 2006 behind you. And make a firm, strong determination to make 2007 much better. If you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord this morning, we hope and pray that you'll do that. If you're not a child of God, that means you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ who died for your sins. But you not only must trust Him, John 8:24, you must also repent, turn from your sins. Luke 13, verse 3, confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10, verse 10, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38. If you're a Christian already and yet you've allowed sin back into your life, the Bible says you should repent and pray that the sins of your heart be forgiven, Acts 8, verse 22.